Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Welcome to Air Temple Island, the new home.
I'm the Avatar. You gotta chill with it.
You're the Avatar, and I'm an idiot.
You're a firebender. Boil it yourself.
Go away, Mako.
Don't worry. I will protect you, my feeble turtle duck.
I will make no such promises.
Bolin's got some moves, huh?
You amuse me. I will make you mine.
You shall meet again soon, beautiful woman.
I can't wait to get started. Yes! Finally!
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar the Last Airbender and Legend of Korra podcast for DonWuFang.net. I'm your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Britt.
Hello. Delaney. I should go first.
Yes, you did get to go first. Delaney.
Hello.
Mare.
Hello.
And Haley.
Save the best for last. Hello.
Yes. Today we'll be discussing Korra relationships, also known as like the new shipping podcast on Korra. I think this is a topic that a lot of people are going to be like, why are we talking about? But I think it's something that's been very under-discussed on this podcast. Yep. It's
because of set up feeling.
But yeah. Shipping is amazing, so...
It's hard to deny that shipping is a very large part of Korra, and relationships and shipping is the same thing. And it's just by the nature of who we've had on the podcast most of the time, it's just not something that's, like, I guess, interested some of the people, so I've made sure we've had people on this one who are more interested in this. And we're going to go over all the major ships in Korra, relationships. We'll start by defining some basic terms if you're not familiar, but Makora, Masami, and Boleska specifically, I'd say they're canon ones, and we'll define that in a minute, and also some fanon ships. So canon is a ship that, or something in general that happens in the show. So it's like based in reality in the show. And fanon is something that is not based in reality.
Like, there's real stuff that happens, and the stuff supposed to happen.
And it's not like fanon is inherently bad, it's just different. Like, it's just not something that exists. Doesn't mean you can't write
fanon. But it should happen.
It's all you're saying all fanon ships should happen. It's perfectly okay to have, like, fanfics and stuff with fanon ships.
Well, personally, fanon, that's why you have fanon.
Yeah, it's just for, like, your personal enjoyment and stuff. Anyway, and if you're unfamiliar with the word ship, it is a relationship in the show that people support. So it's like, if you say, I ship, you can use it as a verb. Makora, that is Mako and Korra, and...
I ship Makora.
Yeah, so we... Makora has not been very lovingly represented on this podcast, so I've made sure to have Mara.
I'm not
and...
to see Makora.
Haley, I think Haley also ships Makora, correct?
You ship Makora too?
Ship Makora.
Yes, I'm not alone.
How did you
yes.
not know that, Dylan?
Well, Haley also ships, like, Bora too, so...
Also ships everything.
Yeah, so I don't know how much there could be anyway. So basically, me and Delaney and maybe Britt for a lot of this will be taking like an objective perspective as we don't really ship anything. So I guess let's go ship by ship. We don't have to get into go person by person yet. But really, the main thing we want to get to first is Makora, the Mako and Korra, definitely the main relationship of the show. Something that has been heavily hit on plot wise over and over again, and it's. And a major development has happened really since we've had, I guess we did have like a shipping mini cast, but the relationship has definitely changed. So I want to go person by person here. So I want you to tell me why you ship Makora or why you do not ship Makora. And let's start with Mare.
First of all, like, I really ship Makora because I think it's something that is really realistic. I think it could happen in real life. And I don't think, I mean, I love Katang. Katang was like my OTP. It was amazing. But like, it's nice to see something that wasn't love at first sight, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And like, I really like, a lot of people do not like it, but I really like how the creators are like making it look like it is, like, and how they're making Mako develop all the way through it. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, he started out as a jerk at the end of the series, like, at the beginning of the series, and he still is, but, like, you can see those little small improvements.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely changing Mako. And by the way, I should say, Don't be afraid to say, like, things that people, like, factors for why you do ship or not ship something, even if it's really just, like, it's cute or something like that. And, like, it, no judging here on why we ship things. Anyway, because reasons. Just any reasons at all are appropriate. Anyway, okay. Haley, why do you do or not ship Makora?
I ship it because I think that they both really care for each other, even though Mako doesn't show it all the time. And also because Mako is really hot. So yeah.
Okay, see that's the type of thing I was talking about. No judging on it. That is a perfectly valid reason to ship something, I think.
Like, it doesn't, I certainly think so.
It doesn't need to be these deep reasons. Britt, why do you do or not ship Makora?
I don't ship Makora because I personally feel they bring out the worst in each other and sometimes act like children and not a good way. So there's my two cents.
Great. Delaney, why do you do or not ship Makora?
Well, we'll have to admit that in the early stages of Korra, I shipped them, and I think it's because I'm one of those people who I just agree with canon. Like, you put something in front of me, and I'm like, yeah.
I did
that. And then it was just bad, and this is why I don't ship. So right now, I don't ship Makora. It's because, like, not like I'm also just not a big. They broke up. Why would I ship it anyway? It's because it's really hard for me to want characters together when they're not very well developed. I would say Korra is much more well-developed now, but Mako and Korra, like, they're not people. Like, they're just caricatures, and I'm just like, I don't want you two together, and then Mako's a jerk, and then Korra's not really nice all the time either, which is fine. I mean, you don't have to be nice all the time, but I don't know. Kind of what Britt was saying, they clash a lot, and it's just, they're not people. They don't have, like, they're just, they have, like,
harmony.
Like, they have, like, four character, like, ideas, and other than that, like, they're not people, so I can't ship them together.
That's kind of what I liked about them in season two, though. Like, they really did bring out the worst in each other, like, and I really think that made Korra develop.
Oh, yeah.
And I think in turn it's going to make him develop because, like, he said he would always love her, and, like, I mean, obviously he hasn't said that to anyone else, but I really think that that is going to, like, make him change.
Yeah. I mean, I do agree with what you said about it's really realistic. Like, yeah. Which I think is kind of the part that I don't like, because, like, teenage drama is the worst thing ever.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather be watching Katang, like, all day long, but... I don't know.
It's hard to not love Katang, though.
Everyone except Harry. Anyway. Yeah, I guess I do not ship Makora, mostly just because I don't find it appealing. I think primarily I hate Mako, so it's kind of hard to ship him with anyone. Yes. But,
amazing.
And I'm also, not with Korra.
Like, yeah, I also just don't, like, care that much about Korra's character right now, which is a problem. But yeah, I just don't find the relationship very appealing. But I know many people do ship it, so we're going to get more into it. Let's talk about the state of Makora right now after book two, because they kind of pretty definitively, it seems like, broke up.
It is sinking.
Yeah, so I guess specifically for Mare and Haley, what do you think they're broken up, and what do you think of these latest developments? Do you like how they are handled? And let's start with Mare.
I love that they broke up. Like, I really do. I think it was the best thing that could have happened for them because, I mean, like I was saying earlier, when he told her he would always love her, I seriously think that that's going to change him. Like, because you could see his face drop as soon as she said it wasn't working. And, like, I don't know.
What do you think, Ellie?
I think it is good that they broke up because, like Delaney said, that they, like, individually, they don't really have much character. And I think when they're apart, they'll be able to develop more of a character. So, yeah, it's good for right now. And I mean, like, I think that they're going to be in game. So, I mean, it's not like they're going to be together for the rest of the books. I mean, like, until the end. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want them to get back together until book four.
They're totally going to bring them back together. Like.
Do you think that they will get back together, though, Mare?
I think so.
Okay, and Haley thinks so, too.
Or, like, I keep having this, like, vision. Maybe it's where I'm reading, like, all these sad books or whatever. But, like, I keep imagining them ending up like Tenzin did with Lin.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm really scared about that. Like, because there's just so much foreshadowing in between that.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of parallels, and there was a whole episode about the parallels between, oh, that was called the spirit of competition that we, yeah, anyway. Yeah, I could definitely see them doing that or, like, trying to, like...
And you can tell that Lin still kind of loves Tenzin, in a way.
Yes. I mean, she's very jaded by what happened, so I could see that, well, at this point, I will see Asami being the one who becomes really jaded. But yeah. I could see it happening with Korra, too, since she likes feelings instead of thoughts.
And that would be something that wouldn't work in between them, because, like, I mean, it was like Tenzin said, they were just two different people, and, like, sadly, Mako and Korra are two different people.
It's like two fireballs trying to stay next to each other. It's just not going to work.
What do you guys think about how this will be handled in Book 3? Do you think it'll just be a lot of, like, drama between Mako and Korra as they're not together anymore?
I think it's going to be a lot of angst.
I think it'll actually be tolerable, being in the same room.
If they don't bring the triangle back, it'll be tolerable.
No, yes. I want the triangle back. I need it.
What do you like about the love triangle, Haley?
I just like angst, and I like drama, so yeah.
I like it too, but like I'm hoping they make it in the way, like, if Korra, like, leaves somewhere and meets this guy or whatever, like, Mako would be like, oh my gosh, no, like, I know we're not together, but, like, I would love that.
Actually,
not
I don't
a fan
even
of the love triangle, no.
I don't even know if, like, there should be, like, a bunch of relationship-y stuff in the next book. I don't know. I'm just kind of... This is, like, the first time I've ever said that, but I'm, like, kind of tired of it right now, so...
Yeah. Yes. How do you guys think Makora has factored into Korra's character growth in Book 2? Because she definitely had a long arc of growth culminating in the finale.
I mean, it definitely showed she was, like, having problems. I mean, especially when she went in his office and, like, kicked his desk or whatever. I mean, that was not, like, no better way to show, like, that she needed something done about her attitude and how she was going to have to go on this journey to get everything right.
I think that shows, like, that was a big part of it, is just that how character development cannot be done with the two of them together. Like, they have to be separated.
Yes.
So get any sort
can
of
I mention my frogs now?
I
agree with that completely.
Yeah, sure, mention the frogs.
The episode, A New Spiritual Age, I thought it was interesting, and a lot of Makora people on Tumblr seem to think so, too. When Iroh took little Korra to, like, the tea party thing, there were two frogs, and the girl one had the exact color of Korra's eyes, and the boy one had the exact color of Mako's eyes, and, like, they were, like, happy. They had just gotten married and whatever. And as soon as Korra's attitude started going, like, awry, they started fighting. And I really think that that could be foreshadowing to how Korra's attitude was affecting that relationship.
And the female frog is voiced by Jenna Varney.
Yeah, that too.
Although the male one is
that
not,
is some
not
deep,
David Fussman.
Slightly terrifying stuff.
Yeah, I don't really see it, but it isn't. I like stuff like that, though. It's interesting.
Well, it's kind of cool since they're, like, they share the same body, like, that kind of, like, Korra and Mako, they're cut from the same, how does that phrase even go? Cut from the same fabric or something?
The same cloth, I think,
cloth.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm stupid, I don't know why I couldn't think of that. So, cut from the same cloth, and, like, I could see that, and it, I don't know. I just don't care for Makora, but...
assuming Makora is endgame and they get back together, which it... I'm not sure it's a given. Like, I think in, like, a traditional story arc that they would clearly be certainly be endgame. But considering how Korra was structured with just one season and then after that they plan the rest of it, like, I think Makora, they could treat it like Makora's endgame of Book 1, but then the rest of it's, like, up for grabs, kind of.
That's true.
I don't think there's going to be, like, any competition towards it, but, I mean, there's a chance that it could just not happen.
That's why I'm thinking either Makora's going to happen or there's not going to be anything, except for side characters.
Yeah.
I say side characters. There's only, like, 10 people that are even important in Korra.
And I can see them leaving it, like, really ambiguous at the end. I guess, like, I could see, like, this picture of, like, where nothing had happened, really, in Book 3 or 4, and, like, the ending of Book 4 just shows them smiling at each other, and it just leaves it up to the fans to decide, but I don't think that would happen either.
There's, like, a double wedding for the brothers.
Oh, gosh.
I guess if it does happen, do you think it'll be in the finale of Book 4? Do you think it'll happen some point in Book 4?
I think it'll happen in the finale in Book 4. Finale. And also, here's another thing. Like, I don't remember. Dylan probably knows where it was from. But there was the interview where Janet Varney was saying that she was talking to the actress for Older Katara, mm-hmm. I believe, and was saying, like, that Katara gave her some advice, and she's like, wow, I'm really going to have to take that into consideration in my own life. Like, do you think that Katara was maybe talking about to her about how it was to be with the Avatar or anything like that? I mean, she said it was an emotional scene.
That's possible. We do know Eva St. Marie was recording for books 3 or 4. I think it was maybe book 4, but yeah, so that, I guess that's a possibility. I don't know how much basis there is for that, but yeah, you could see that. That seems a little bit like something they wouldn't write, kind of. I don't know. I'm not.
Well, I could see them. They like their parallels, so I could really see there being like there's not necessarily parallels between the relationship, but I could see us having a cheesy balcony scene that would make everyone mad. Like, I could see it happening.
Yeah, I just really want some Katang parallels, like really bad.
Or just Katang? Can we just have Katang? Like, can we just
no.
Katara needs to die.
And oh my goodness. All of you with the Katara needs to die.
Like, jeez. What's going to happen is that the season 4 finale, she's going to die, and that so the show Avatar would have begun with Katara and ended with Katara, and we're all just going to die.
That is very unrelated. Okay, let's talk about, I think, even if you don't ship Makora, you can jump in on this. The best Makora moments from both books.
Oh god. I'm across the water.
The breakup.
That was
a yeah, but not you guys think so for different reasons.
When they're apart, I don't know. Everyone likes that twirl, and it's not even good. Like, I don't get it.
Like, I started shipping them the exact moment. Like, I really did not care. Like, in The Leaf in the Wind, where she was looking at him or whatever. But the thing that started making me ship them was when he was looking across at her, and she was looking across at him. Like, I just really thought that was. Like, interesting. I didn't think that they had done something like that before. But yeah. That was my favorite.
I would say the only Makora moment I've ever liked is them in The Revelation. I thought they were very tolerable in that episode, just as a whole. And then it went downhill. But
speaking from my days when I shipped Makora, I was, like, really pumped when they kissed in The Spirit of Competition. I just want to throw up every time I watch that episode.
I didn't really care about that one. I thought that was really rushed at the time.
It was. It was really bad, but...
But I really, like, I know a bunch of people started hating Mako in Out of the Past, and that was the episode that I really, really liked Makora in season 1.
I love that.
I loved it, too.
If he had broken it with Asami, it would have been fine, but no.
I think that was the moment that he realized, I mean, well, obviously it was the moment he realized he loved her, but, like, I took that. I mean, I think I have, like, a signature on one of these forums or whatever. I think Britt made it, actually. But it actually shows, like, Katara, like, over Aang when he almost died, and then Mako over Korra when, like, she almost died. And I really think that's a perfect moment.
I did make that one. I feel special.
It's like, for me, that moment, you, like make Mako break up with Asami before that happens, and then make Mako not awful, and then that scene is good.
Yeah, I agree. That's how I feel about it. It'd be fine.
It's just
everything would be fine about Makora if he had just broken up with Asami.
Well, it's really like the context, not even just the rest is fine. But just I don't know. What are you guys' feelings on that? We always complain so much about how like Mako never breaks up with Asami. Did you, Meredith and Haley? Did you like feel like they did break up off camera and that was handled fine, or did that annoy you too?
I didn't. They broke up.
You think they did break up? You said
yeah. I mean, obviously, like, if you listen to the commentaries, the creator said that, but as a fan watching it for the first time, like, I thought that was them pretty much saying, like, this isn't going to work.
Which episode did you think?
It was, crap, what's the name of that one? Endgame? The one, Skeletons in the Closet, that's when it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when she went up to him and he told her he would always care about her.
Yeah. So, do you not feel like the stuff that happens before that between Mako and Korra is, like, morally questionable because they weren't... Even if you do interpret that as a breakup scene, like, there's still stuff that happened before that.
I think it was definitely wrong what Mako did. Like, I mean, it was really bad, but, I mean, and I'm not giving him the excuse, oh, he's an 18-year-old boy or whatever, but I really think that he was trying to make everyone happy, and he didn't know how. Like, I really do think he cares about Asami.
He's just, like, too awkward to, like, do it right. Yeah.
Like, learn how to person.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand people. It's really his problem. He just needs to figure out how to be a person.
What do you think?
And Kayla? I don't know how much of that is like purposeful, and how
that's
much
why they don't work.
Don't get it.
Haley, what do you did you think they broke up in the end of Anytime in Book One?
I think the skeletons in the closet scene, that part, I think they did break up then, but like until then, nothing really bothered me. I don't know why, if that just makes me a terrible person or what, but I don't know. It just, I knew what he did was wrong, but it didn't really bother me in the show.
But like, and also, I think up until Skeleton's Closet, I don't think he realized that what he was doing was wrong.
It's because he's stupid, but I love him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do think he doesn't really understand.
Because I think the moment he realized it was wrong and that he needed to cut it off with Asami was when he decided he wanted to go with Korra to find him on.
Yeah.
Because he kind of like looked down and was like, yes, I do.
Let's talk about, we've been talking a lot about book one. What do you guys think of the Mako and Korra like fight scene in the police headquarters in book two?
I love it so much.
I thought it was funny. Like, I thought it was like realistic and something they would do, but like on a person to person basis, I wanted to have like sit down and have one of the conversations I talk about having with them. We're going to talk about, we need to talk about your life choices.
Exactly. 5 minutes.
Mare, what are your reactions to that scene?
What scene was it again?
The I forget which episode specifically it's from, but it's the Korra Mako fight scene in the police headquarters.
Is it Peacekeepers?
Oh, like
was it Peacekeepers? Maybe.
Yeah, it was Peacekeepers.
I blanked out that period, but yeah.
I really didn't like it. Because I thought that they were both just going off anger, and I thought that they were both at fault. Like, I was really mad at Korra, because I think she should have, like, realized. I mean, obviously, I would have been mad at Mako, too, but she needed to, like, calm down for a few minutes and let him say what he needed to say. Like, I don't think he was letting her. She was letting him love her. But, I don't know. Like, it needed to happen, but I hated that it happened in that way.
Haley, what do you think?
I actually really liked that scene, even though it was, like, over the top. I still, I don't know, I just like angst, and I like people getting mad at each other, so.
It encapsulated their entire relationship.
Yeah, basically.
Like, them blowing up at each other, like, this is how it would be if you guys were together forever, like, this is how it would be.
Are we gonna talk about how it's not okay Mako, like, basically lied to her, though?
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's a good point. I've also blanked that out. So, Mako is just a complete jerk and takes it. It's like Korra has amnesia and he just completely blatantly lies to her. What reactions to that?
Obviously, I don't think that they wanted to break up with each other. And I think that he was like, oh, she forgot. Like, okay, that's fine.
It's like the Asami thing part two. Like, yeah. Honestly, like, he didn't break up with her, now he's not telling Korra that they broke up, but it's like, really, Mako, again?
Haley, yeah. What do you think?
It made me really angry.
Yeah, me too.
I think, like, all of Mako's actions in book one, you could just say, oh, he's just not a smart person. And he's just, like, really socially awkward. But that, he was just blatantly lying to her and being a bad person.
But then, like, Korra said she knew, so it's like, why didn't Korra say anything? So, like, she's...
Yeah, like, she had to have remembered when she went in that tree, and, like, he obviously, like, ran up to her to give her a kiss on the cheek, like, after that happened. And she was, like, all smiley about it, but...
It's like, Korra...
Well, it's not really clear when she, like, learned about this.
Yeah.
It's true.
But, yeah,
The timeline of Korra is so messed up, it's so confusing.
But, like, I really want to emphasize, like, how much I think that the breakup scene in the book two finale is going to change Mako. Like, I really have faith that it's going to.
And hopefully Korra, too, so they can develop separately and not being together.
Yes.
I mean, his poor little sad little face. Like, I think...
Oh, poor baby Mako.
I think that will change him.
I like that, laughing at poor Mako's sad face. I agree with that. Let's laugh.
He does make some really pathetic faces, you have to admit.
I know, and he's like,
if you zoom in, started rewatching season one, and he's just, I realized something that I didn't realize before. He's stupider than I thought. Like, he's trying so hard, but he's just not bright. And I guess I don't hold it against him as much. Like, personally, I'm still like, no, you're still terrible. Like, I don't forgive him for anything bad that he does, because he doesn't make up for it. But, like, I just see him as being more pathetic rather than getting mad at him. And I don't know if that's, it's just, I'm sorry.
What pity
for him. Make cry.
We may have talked about some of these, but what are your least, what are the worst Makora moments in the show? Let's start with Mira.
Oh gosh. I really didn't like I said, the spirit of competition, because I thought it was really rushed and that Korra probably shouldn't have done that knowing that he was with Asami. But I guess I didn't like the breakup in the police headquarters, and I didn't like how she treated him in the first few episodes of like Rebel Spirit and whatnot with her dad, and I really didn't like that. Like, I feel like she made the relationship a lot worse, and I feel like Mako gets half the blame for it, and I don't think it's right.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about that quickly. I think that, like, what happened? Korra was frustrated with everything, and Mako, like, said the wrong things, and Korra got mad at her because of that, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was, like, if I had a boyfriend and he was, like, trying to support me like that, I would have taken anything. Like, I mean, obviously I wasn't in Korra's position, but for instance, like the dad thing, like all dads are protective of their daughters. And I mean, Mako was just trying to assure her dad that he would not let anything bad happen to Rain. Like, Korra chewed him out.
Well, just got the wording, to be fair, what Mako said was like, it was like really sexist and demeaning. But
yeah, I think Mako was like well-intentioned there, but he's by doing that, he's like demeaning Korra.
Yeah.
He was the Avatar and could kill him.
Yeah.
Another one of those things where he didn't realize it. I mean, obviously, like, Korra's going to look at it different because she wanted to be on her own. Like,
yeah, I do think, like,
striving for independence.
Basically, everything Mako does is really just, he just doesn't, like, understand that what he's doing is wrong.
Yeah. He's so stupid.
He's just really
And I do agree that a lot of times we're all like, Mako, 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 which is kind of what I was bringing up earlier about Korra. I can't remember what she was doing, but like they're both bad for each other. Like, they both do. Like, neither one of them knows what they're doing.
Who would be good for Mako, though? Like,
well, it's like, Korra grew up in a compound, has no social, like, has no idea about how to be social, and neither does Mako. So, like, how are they going to function as a couple?
I feel like they can learn together.
Hey, can I say something else, too?
Yes, yes.
I thought this was interesting, and I had, like, kind of a little theory about it, too. But what was it Mako said, like, in the first episode? Like, you're the Avatar, I'll trust whatever decision you make, or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty much, like, except one word, the exact quote Tenzin said to her in the season finale.
Hmm.
The exact thing.
So you think Tenzin is giving Mako love advice?
I think there's a connection between that.
I hope Tenzin gives Korra some love advice. Lord knows he needs some. Because he's been in this situation, but he came out okay, so clearly he knows how to navigate life. A little bit better than...
Delaney, before I think, one thing I want to say, I think you were making, like a pretty convincing argument for Masami, actually. Like, when you were like, Mako needs someone that's, like, actually knows what they're doing.
Yes.
Like, and who's, like, socially functioning.
Mako needs to be trained. And, like,
like, I feel like that's an argument for Asami.
The only person who can do that is Asami. Like, she's... I think Asami deserves a lot better than Mako.
Okay,
but...
I see. Haley, any worst Makora moments?
Yes. In the spirit of competition, just pretty much that entire episode. It's just... Mako's a...
I would agree with that. Any others?
So it's for
him. I think not really wants to be with Asami, but like, I mean, because of how simple I guess it would be, like, it would make much more sense if he were with Asami.
He said that. He's like, it makes more sense to go with Asami, and it's like, shut up, Mako, don't talk. Worst quote ever.
Yeah, that was just awful.
I swear.
But I think the love is with Korra.
Yes.
I think it took him till like the very end of season two to be like, whoa, like if I want to keep Korra, I need to stop being such a
That's what I hope happens. If they act like good people, I'll be happy. I don't care what happens.
I guess we can skip like Britt, Delaney, and Mai's worst Macora moments because it would be like all of the above.
Yeah, I was waiting when you're always going to be like all.
I
of
actually have like the worst one and the best one.
Okay, Delaney, best and worst.
Okay, my best Macora moment is, and I don't mean this in like a horrible way. I mean this is like a positive thing. Okay, so listen to me when they break up because Okay, it shows them having the most maturity and, like, growing the show that if they... Because you know they're going to be endgame, okay? I'm sorry. I say this as somebody who doesn't trip them. They're going to end up together in the end. It's fact. I think
You just summed up all my feelings, Britt.
Okay? I just feel that it shows them acting the most mature and, like, critical thinking. And they're finally starting to grow up. I'm so happy. And that's my best one. The worst moment, probably the kiss in season one, because I just wanted to punch them in the face because they just handled it so poorly.
That twirl.
It wasn't that bad.
Okay, my thing though was like, Mako has been a jerk the entire time, and then at the end, Korra loses her bidding, he's like, it's okay, I love you, and it's like, that's really consoling, Mako, thanks.
It's because it's hot.
God. But
okay, last thing I want to talk about with Macora is its function as the main ship and relationship of Korra. Because, like, it's much different than Avatar, because in Avatar, Kadang was the main ship, and Kadang was very...
It was a driving force.
It was very like not focused on, but at the same time it was not drama. Except at the very end, there's like no drama around it, and it was just like a little side plot the entire time.
Because we actually saw a drama, like a drama piece was actually part of the drama.
I didn't like Katang drama.
Yeah, like the drama they did have for Katang was like pretty like bad. I mean, the only one you can think of is just Ember Island Players at the end, and that was just like that.
Yeah. I didn't get Katara in that episode.
Yeah, well, it's because they didn't mention it for like 5 episodes before that. That's why we didn't understand Katara's motivations. They didn't talk about them. But in Korra, it's much different, and it's like very focused upon, very dramatic. Do you think that Macora is a good ship relationship to have as the main focus in the show?
I do.
God, no.
That's how I feel, no.
I think it's a good ship because, like, first of all, I think it's adorable. But second, I think that it is going to mature them, like the breakup. I think that is like a piece in how book 3 and 4 is going to turn out.
Haley, what do you think?
No. I mean, I love Macora, but it's just because of the characters, like by themselves, they're just so undeveloped. And I think to have like the main ship of a show should have characters that are like completely developed, or like at least well developed.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be more on that side. Like, I think that we don't get too much Kadang until we like have more established characters, which is a big difference. Okay. Any last thoughts on Macora?
Yes.
Yes.
I love them.
Driving force.
Yes. Yes. <sure. laughs>
About the driving force, like, I think I've posted on the forums about it before, is just that the main problem I think with Korra is Macora, and that sounds really bad, but it's just because, like, they've turned Korra into a teenage drama, which is, like, they could do it fine, but they don't. Like, it's really bad. Like, why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. Do we have to have 6 love triangles? Do we have to do all this nonsense?
So, to be fair, there are not 6 love triangles.
That is not even fair, okay?
Yeah. Can we have to rely on Degrassi?
Okay, we really can't be comparing Korra to Degrassi right now.
Well, I'm just saying that, I really don't like teenage dramas. Like, I can't, if a book has a love triangle in it, I'm done. But then, like...
What?
Okay, there's only one book that I don't know. Anyway. But, like, it's just horrible. Why do we... It's just the teenage drama. Like, I like having some teenage drama is fine, really. But it just feels like that's all there is to Korra right now, and it's driving me nuts.
What if they make it back into a square?
Yes, please.
Yeah, obviously the solution is to add the other side back. Like that's.
Delaney does not have shapes.
I will.
Okay. Any other last thoughts on Korra? Okay.
It's terrible. I'm glad it ended.
Great.
I love it.
Let's move on to Masami, I would say.
I'm apathetic. Apparently I'm
Mako and Asami has been canon twice now, so I think it's very easy to put into this category.
Is that a record? Like,
is it actually canon this time, though?
Like, they kissed twice, ew. So I would think that counts.
Ew.
Like, I mean, it was, like, canon, but do you think... I mean, I pictured that whole thing as Mako having no one, so he just
while Korra was gone. Their motivations to whatever happens are.
But Asami would have slapped him if she wasn't interested. So,
like, their motivations were whatever, but it still happened. Like,
it's still.
So anyway, let's go around the horn. Do you ship Masami? Why or why not? Let's start with Britt.
Yes, because I'm crazy. Like, literally, I just look at the like, in theory, I hate it, okay? But then I see them on screen, and I'm like, stop being cute. And then I, like, hug, like, a pillow, and I fall over, and I'm like, oh, goodness, what is this?
I'm like...
That's great explanation, Britt.
Because they're just these messed up people, but I feel like when they're together... They make more sense, especially Mako, because when he's with Asami, yeah. He does not act like a man child. He acts like a person. Makes me feel better. And then they do cute things like have Eskimo kisses and go for rides in the park. And she hit her with her moped. Okay.
I think that's another thing to mention. Like, he acts like more of an adult with Asami than Korra. Like, I mean, I don't think him and Asami would have, like, taken a picture, like, in little Eskimo hole in picture things.
Like, he has, like, it seems like he has other emotions other than rage when he's with Asami and not with Korra.
Mare, do you ship Masami? Why or why not?
I don't. Like, it's not that I hate it. Like, because I really don't hate it because I like Asami's character. But I just feel like she could do a lot better. And, I mean, it's nothing against Mako, but I don't know.
Korra deserves Mako, so there's, like, Korra, like, this pig down from Asami who could have
Actually,
Mako.
The reason I don't ship Masami is because I ship Makora. That's just all there is to it.
I think that's fair. Haley, do you ship Masami? Why or why not?
No.
Wow, is this, like, the only thing you don't ship?
Katang, I hate... Okay, anyways. But there's just, it goes back to book one and my extreme hatred I had for Asami. So, yeah. I just can't.
Okay. I don't understand this hatred. Asami being the best and all.
Yes.
No. She's evil.
Ew.
She'd be the best villain ever.
She would be. And it would be like, it would make total sense.
I don't.
Just needs to be on screen more. Like, that's the thing.
Yes.
Anyway, that's just in general. Like, I think we can all agree we need more Asami.
Delaney, do you ship Masami? Why or why not?
Well, apparently I can make great arguments.
Yeah,
Asami,
you've made a good argument before.
But I do not consider myself a shipper. I really don't ship a lot in Korra. Everything I ship is canon. I love Asami. No, I'll have to say in the beginning when I was crazy Makora for 5 episodes, I don't know what happened anyway. I was like, I hate Masami, I hate Masami bar, but the reason I don't ship Masami is because what Mare said, that Asami deserves so much better, and I hate Mako, and I don't want Mako with anyone. So I can't ship them together.
Yeah, I definitely don't ship Masami. I think I understand, like, actually understand the appeal to Masami, like, they're, like, the two most attractive characters on the show. Pair them up, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and they're beautiful.
Yeah, and, like, Mako does act...
like a person.
Like a person with Asami.
They have beautiful children.
The thing, though, is that Mako is the worst and Asami's the best, so I don't really want...
That's funny.
...her to have to deal with him. Like, that's
Mako
not...
is just a complex character.
Mako's amazing and really hot.
Wow.
I want Mako to be a better person, and then I want them to resolve their issues, and I'll just be happy. They don't even have to be together. I just want them to, like, have a complete storyline.
Like, I will say that them in the Sting, like, it was very tolerable, I would say.
Yes. Best. Okay. Shut up. It was the best.
Asami kind of made me mad in that episode. Like, I mean, I guess, like, I guess Mako did the same thing to her. But as soon as she found out that Mako was no longer dating Korra, like, she was like, OMG, my man.
I do not think that it, that's what she did at all. That's clearly not what that was.
She needed comfort, and she just...
Asami was in a very emotionally awful state. And
she she was.
What's your point?
And was still in love Mako was the only person in the world still there who, like, she feels anything for and who cares about her. And she found out that he's, like... she's like could be with him, and it's just, it was a very awful moment for her.
Yeah, like, I'm not talking about the kissing part, I'm talking about when they were on the boat.
I kissed anyone who's next to me if I saw all my mega tanks get stolen.
I'm talking about, like, the part where they were on the boat, and, like, her eyes, like, get this big, like, when she hears that man, like, asking Mako how him and Avatar Korra were.
I think you're overinterpreting
that. I've watched that episode, like, four times, and that's not what I get out of that.
Yeah, I do not interpret it like that.
I'd be surprised, too.
I think she's just surprised, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think she's honestly just surprised.
The big deal Mako made out of it, you would be surprised if they had broken up.
Yeah.
Since,
you know, Mako completely blew her off while they were dating.
Yeah,
but I just think that people in this, like, world have no idea how to, like, have relationships. Like, I mean, it's wrong on all sides. Like, it's wrong on Korra's side, it's wrong on Mako's side, and, like, in a lot of, like, a lot of these episodes, it was kind of wrong on Asami's side.
It's because of the technology, like, the world.
I mean, it's just the writing, like, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, so episode six, The Sting, I don't actually think either of them are really in the wrong here. Asami, of course, it's, like, a little bit, like, that she's, like, quote-unquote, moving in right after they're broken up, and all Mako does is respond. Like, I don't really...
Like, they're broken up, so it's kind of
They are very clearly, like, broken up in that.
But it's, like, after what Mako did to Asami in book one, like, her kissing him is, like, she doesn't have any self-respect for herself.
Exactly.
Well, you know what? It makes sense that she had that moment of weakness. Her father tried to kill her. Her mother's been dead for years, and she doesn't even have any friends.
Like, I agree it comes off that she doesn't have much self-respect, and I think that's exactly what they're going for, because of all the crap
but
that happened to Asami.
Oh my god, she's so annoying!
I don't really think it's like that. If you don't have this emotional investment in Asami, I guess it's just not the same, but... Asami is just a punching bag throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
Like, the worst stuff happens to her.
For Asami.
Yeah, the worst stuff happens.
Can we talk about her face when Korra comes back? I think about Night of a Thousand Stars or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, she was, I mean, obviously really upset, but, I mean, and I do not mean this in a bad way. Please do not think, like, I am, but what did she expect when Korra would come back? Like,
well, to be fair, Mako said they were broken up, and then this happens.
Yeah.
Mako isn't.
She's also, she's moving in on the Avatar's ex-boyfriend. I'd be kind of terrified because it's the Avatar.
Yeah.
She gonna hurt me. Like, I need to oh, God.
Let's talk about the state of Masami now after the book 2 finale. Because, you know, potentially it's, like, very open that it could happen again.
No, Asami's like, swerve, I'm done with you.
See, I don't know. I don't feel like Asami...
He didn't really show anything like that.
Yeah, like, I feel like Asami should be like that, but I don't think she is like
that. To be fair, she completely disappeared in, like, episode...
Yeah, in the finale, she definitely
She just disappeared, so... like, Asami, like, obviously, she has to be at this point. Like, if they want to have any sort of character for her now, that's really the only way for them to go. Like, I wouldn't be okay if Asami was just like, yeah, me and Mako, we're good friends. Like, I wouldn't be okay with that, because what Mako's done to her... Now, to be fair, them being, like, the off and on thing, like, what happened in season 2, like, that was both of them, but, like, I completely understand, like, her being upset, and I think she should be upset. We need to see this. I want vengeful Asami.
I want her to rip him a new one.
I would be fair. Now, if she's just there, that's great, because I just want Asami to be there, and I'm so tired of her not being there.
Britt, what do you think the future holds for Asami?
I think they left it open-ended, and I think season 2, I don't think they were in a relationship. I think they were just kind of...
Yeah.
There's a word for this in our language, and everyone knows what it is, but we're not going to talk about it, because Dylan maintains our PG.
Yes.
Anyways,
yes,
moving on.
I could see Mako being like, hey, Asami. And Asami's like, no, back up.
I think they're going to have some sort of resolution, and I want them to. Yeah. I want them to work something out. Even if they're just, even if they like, you know, it could be anything. It could be them deciding not to be together, be in a relationship. They could be in a tea shop.
But they need to talk. Do you think Korra will find out?
I think Korra already knows, and I think Korra doesn't care. I think she just.
You think she's just done?
I could see Asami. Not... I could see Asami turning to Korra, which because I want Korsami to happen a lot.
Oh God!
I would love for them to talk about that.
Yeah.
Even just Korsami friendship, like yeah. I want them to be best friends.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love Korsami friendship. Mm-hmm. I really want them to talk about that.
I guess let's talk about quickly the other Masami stuff that happens. I guess we talked about everything in book two. Book one, we talked about the Eskimo kisses and the horse ride and stuff like that. Yeah, and we had the meet cute. I don't know what I thought about that at the time, because at that time it was not as clear how awful Mako was, right? So I think that was pretty tolerable.
I was in loving Makora land, so, and I was like, I hate everything Masami, and I regret everything now.
No, you don't. Nope.
It was a sad time.
I could see them.
It definitely wasn't.
I could see them getting together in book three. I would hate it, but I think it could happen.
Yeah, I do too. I could see it happening.
I just thought Asami was evil the whole time until like very.
Me too.
Yeah, well, they were planning. They were like planning on her being evil, so it's a fair assumption to make.
Yeah.
And then they just were like changed their mind
about whether or not, like, I wanted to happen. Like, they would have to pull some serious stuff out of their sleeves and actually being in a relationship. I'm just like, anyways, keep talking.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Any last thoughts on Masami?
I don't think a casual thing would bother me. Like, if they went back to what they were doing and like. Season two Brett mentioned, like, I don't think it would bother me just because I don't care, because like
they're very welcome to have that type of relationship, like
exactly,
it doesn't really matter.
And then I'd want Asami to like crush Mako's heart, like I want
that.
That would be pretty great.
But just because he's Bolin, I think that Bolin is gonna like let the veins like, or I don't know, he's gonna do something and it's gonna cause stuff to break loose. I think he's going to say something happened.
Yes, we'll factor Bolin in a second. But first,
Bolin actually can't keep his mouth shut.
Let us quickly do a book recommendation. For you listeners from the Queer World Podcast, we have a free audiobook download just for checking out Audible's services with a free 14-day trial. You can go to audibletrial.com/FTSW and get your free audiobook download. Today, Delaney has a book to recommend.
All right, so I just finished it today, so I'm in a little bit of a tizzy about it. It was so good. It's called Boy Nobody by Alan Zadoff. Mm-hmm. So if you're into, like, spy, like, teenage spy novels, this is a book for you. And also, in general, it's so well written. So it's about this boy, and his parents were murdered when he was, like, 11 or 12. And he's recruited into this program, and he's sent all across the country to murder the parents of his classmates. Cause, like,
that's fun.
He considers him, he's told he's a patriot and he's serving his country, doing all this stuff. And it's just really clever, and the writing itself, like, the writing is so good. Just, you know, it's first person, so I was about to say, it feels like you're stuck in his head, because you actually are stuck in his head, but, like, just the way the character speaks to himself is just really engaging. And then, it's just a really good book, and the ending, like, I got really anxious while reading it, which I think is a hallmark of a good book, and the ending completely, like, you don't really expect it, like, you expect, anyway, it's just really, really good. And it's going to be a series, the second one comes out this June. And I think it's called The Lost Mission, so look out for that if you read the...
Cool, check that out on audibletrial.com/FTSW. Okay, the third of the three major canon ships I want to get into is Boleska. And this is... So, Bolin and Eska, purely book two ship. Let's start with Mer. Do you ship Boleska? Why or why not?
I absolutely hated it at first because, like, I was under this impression that I really wanted Bolin and Asami to work out somehow.
But the last two episodes of book two, I absolutely fell in love with them. Like, I thought it was precious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no. Haley, what do you think?
I mean, I'm pretty indifferent about it. I don't really hate it or love it. Mainly because I still want Bora to happen in some way, shape, or fashion.
But, and Makora at the same time. Yeah, that's...
Yes, and Tanora.
Oh, yeah, Tano, not a factor. But...
So just Korra polygamy.
Shut up. Yes! That would be polygamy. A solution to all my problems.
Great, yeah, great. Britt, do you ship Bolesca?
I like it a lot, but I'm not sure that I ship it. Does that make sense? Yeah, like, I'm kind of if it doesn't happen at all, but like seeing it on screen, I'm like, oh, okay, this is cute.
That's kind of where I float on that. Do you think she'll return in book three
now?
It seems unlikely.
So it's like indifference, but it's like a happy indifference.
Like, yeah.
It's like having glitter. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
We know what you mean. Okay. Delaney, where are you on Bolesca?
Well, I'll say I shipped it, because I can't currently ship it, because obviously Eska's not coming back. I really don't think she will
be. Well, you could still. I mean, Haley still ships Tanora.
I mean, like, toward the end...
It'll come. It'll happen.
Because we kept talking about how, like, abusive it was, and, you know, now, even though it was abusive, this is really bad, but, like, in the beginning it was hilarious. Like, it was just really entertaining.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, and, you know, and I was really surprised that I was into Bolesca, because I do not like Bolin. He does not have good character development. I don't like him.
Yeah, Cass.
I know I'm the only person on the planet who doesn't like Bolin.
You are. I think the at beginning of Bolesca, like, to clarify, wasn't, like, awful. Like, it became bad later, but in the beginning it wasn't, like, too abusive.
Wasn't it just because Eska is such a funny character and she has the best lines that made Bolesca the best thing ever?
Yeah, and I actually shipped Bolesca for, like, one or two episodes in book two. And I was like, wow, I actually have a shipping corp once. This is crazy. And then Eska turned into the crazy girlfriend, and they handled it in a really sexist, awful way, and I completely was lost from it.
Yep,
that's what happened to me. And then I liked it again at the end. So
And then at the end, in like the last episode, it was cute. But other than that, it was just...
It was so ridiculous that it worked.
But it made no sense. Like,
it really doesn't make any sense. They portrayed it just awfully. Like, there was no... Why was Bolin? It's like Bolin was like, oh yeah, acting. Like, come on, there was no basis for that, for him actually liking Eska, other than in the very beginning. Like, for all.
Unless it's because of, like, he realized after chasing after Ginger that he really loved Eska.
I don't know, but they didn't have, like, that that revelation scene for him. Like,
it just, she just dragged him around in a choker. Like,
there was no basis for the relationship, but I felt like it was always meant to be hysterical. Like, we were never supposed to take it, like, super seriously. Like, if you did take it seriously, you took it wrong.
I don't think Bolin's ever going to have an actual serious ship, because his only purpose is
comedy. Yeah, well, I think it was, like, supposed to be, like, comedic, and then, which is why they're actually, like, the actually, like, thing at the end was so effective, because it's just, like, no one expected it.
I wish they would make Bolin and Asami a thing, like, really bad.
Well, we'll talk about Bolin and Asami in a minute. But Bolin and Eska, I think this is their friendship so much. They just awfully handled Bolesca, really. I think this had potential to be, like, interesting and sympathetic, but just the way they handled Eska in general, and this went into the ship too, was just awful. And it just really took apart all the really good moments they had in the first episode, which was the second episode, Turtle Duck, and then first episode, the thing, I forget what the line is. Yeah, I will make you mine, and then after she says something else. I've completely forgotten.
My feeble turtle duck.
Well, that was episode two, yeah.
Just everything Eska says.
Yeah, and it was really good, and it was cute how much Bolin was, like, trying to chase after her, and then it just got awful, and then at the end, we had the Bolin, I wasn't acting scene, which was... like, kind of cute, but it was just, it had no basis in reality. And then at the end, they had, what'd they do? I don't remember. They kissed and were like, oh, I'm going away. I don't remember what else happened, but yeah. And yeah.
I think it was supposed to be awful, though.
You mean their interactions in the middle?
Yeah, like, I think that, I mean, I like to think that Bright did that on purpose.
like that.
Well, they did something on purpose.
Season would be like, what?
That would be interesting. Yeah, let's purposely make this awful, this awful thing, so that we get that reaction at the end. I don't think so, but that would be interesting. I don't think it would be good if they did.
PJ Barron said, like, no, you do not need to be in a relationship like that.
Yeah. Well, I think they're just playing it too far and didn't like really realize what they're doing. Like, it was just they're playing it for comedy too much.
Like, the joke got out of hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. Any other stuff on Bolesko? I think we really covered. Okay, so let's get into... Okay, there's one ship that I think is in the middle of Fannin and Cannon. Again, Cannon being actually in the series, Fannin being not. And I think that is Bora, because Bora at one point was definitely one-sided. So I don't think So one-sided definitely doesn't count as... Fannin, but I think now it's probably Fannin because it's worn off. Bora being Bora and Korra. Mare, do you ship Bora? Why not?
No, because our ship is Bora.
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer. Haley, why do you ship Bora?
Yes, because it's so cute and Korra needs everybody.
Korra just needs everybody. Great. Britt, have you ever shipped Bora?
I have. I shipped it all through season one. I shipped it really hard. I don't really ship it now, but if it happens, and I'd be like, actually, I don't know if I want it to happen now after everything that's happened. It depends how they played it out. But like, in theory, if it happened, I'd be okay. But I don't actively ship it anymore.
Delaney, what about you?
No, I don't want Korra with anyone. And I don't like Bolin, but I want Bolin to be happy.
I do too.
Okay, it's not that I don't like Bolin. It's just like his character is like, the way he's been characterized, it's awful. So I want more for Bolin. And I want him, like, he deserves better than Korra. Like, Korra would not treat Bolin well, so.
Yeah, I think, I guess I didn't really ever ship Bora, but them in Spirit of Competition are very sympathetic. Like, their scenes are definitely the best part of that episode. Like, I also think the Bora scene in Voice in the Night is great and one of the best of the season. Yes. When he comes and visits her and... brings the flowers and their cake or whatever and stuff.
That was so cute.
Yeah, that was just a really great
scene.
That
was cute.
Yeah. And I think for a while, it's weird because we just saw the unsympatheticness of Mako, like, kind of paired with Bolin, who's just such a sympathetic character in book one. It was just weird because it was obvious they were actually going for Makora for the real show.
And then they're both awful in season two. Why?
And then Bolin character just tanks in season two, yeah.
Makes me sad.
I think
another thing that's realistic. I mean, a girl, I mean, she likes the guy she can't have. And, I mean, the friend likes her. I mean,
I think that's a realistic scenario, not necessarily the thing that could happen. Like, it's not, you've seen, of course it's happened. It's like a stereotype. I think this is kind of like a sexist stereotype that it's like the girl goes for the guy that's worse for her. Like, I feel like that's ingrained into our tropes. Yeah. So it like seems normal to us, and
into the whole friend zone thing.
Yeah, the friend zone is awful, and I just think in real life it's just like you like who you like, and sometimes you can't control that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes the people that you like aren't the greatest of people.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But you like them anyway. Lesson learned. Happens.
Yeah. Any chance of Bora happening the rest of the series?
Probably not.
I don't think so. It's a chance that they might toy it around with it again. Like,
I could see them bringing it.
I want it so bad.
I could see it being in like one or two episodes. Yeah, like just
bringing the possibility back. Like now that it's like, I think they always are gonna give Bolin like some sort of love interest, and I think they could bring back him crushing on Korra again. I feel like that's realistic.
I want it.
I stalk these like Janet Varney interviews, but in one interview, like she was saying that they were in the middle of recording book four, and that she was curious, like on who Korra, like how Korra's romantic life would like come up, and she has said she shipped Bora.
Yeah, she has said that if she were in Korra's position, she would choose Bolin. Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if that means that he was brought back in the picture.
Yeah. Definitely don't think it'll end up canon though.
No.
Okay, let's talk about some Fannin ships. Let's start with Bol Sami. I think that's the major Fannin ship.
Precious.
Bolin and Asami. I think we've seen no basis for this in reality in the series. We've seen friendship, though.
Yeah, like the hugs. Yeah. Like friendship is good. The scene on Varric's boat was adorable, and the scene in Night of a Thousand Stars was adorable.
Yes. Bolin should totes be Asami's assistant all the time.
Yeah.
Yes. They should be besties for the resties forever. Yes.
I mean, it's just like you've the two out of three of the most sympathetic characters in the show interacting. It's going to turn out well. And it should be noted, Mike in an interview at some point said,
"They're just good friends."
Sami is not happening. Yeah, he specifically said it, which I haven't really seen them do before, so that was weird. Just flat out denying ships, like they never flat out denied Zutara. Like, come on,
Zutara's amazing.
No. They talked about Katang being the driving force. They were like, "Do we really need to talk about Zutara?" Obviously,
yeah. I think they just ignored it until like the commentaries Zutara. In Book Three. Yeah.
They actually made fun of it.
They did in they did. Book Three commentaries. But I also think Brian like wanted to leave it like open, which was dumb. But yeah, I've been over this before. Anyway, other fanon ships. There were a lot of General Iroh ships.
Yes. Irami is the best ship.
Iroh is just such an
Irosami. I
think Iroh is just such a non-presence at this point. That
like, if they would make him Iroh a presence, correct. I'd be okay with it. Like because Asami. That's why I don't ship Asami, is because like Asami is the most perfect person ever. Mm-hmm. If you need someone who's adult, who's not Bolin, and Iroh would be perfect if they would give him a character.
Is it like confirmed that he's like really older than her?
Not like a ton older.
It's not confirmed, but there was like this joking thing in the commentaries. It's weird. There's nothing been confirmed though. It does seem like that he's older. They're making him older than he seems like, I would say.
Yeah, probably.
If they would give me a basis to ship that, I totally would.
Yes, ship. I would ship. I didn't need a basis. I was like, Arami, let's go.
Let's talk about the fanon ship that I think is most popular on this podcast, in Korosami, Korra and Asami.
Please.
Listen to the gender identity and sexual orientation discussion to see how we feel about the lack of gay ships in Korra and Avatar. But I think one of the main appeals to at least for me to Korosami is just there's no non-straight ships in Korra, and it's very frustrating. No even possibilities of it. And it's appealing because these two characters had like one scene where they interacted early in the show, and it was like cool, and then it just like never happened again. That's the frustrating part about Korosami. There's just like only one scene about it.
They're not even like good friends.
They're not even friends. They just never interact anymore.
It's like, can we have the women band together? That'd be great.
And
that's the reason I hate the love triangle. I mean, because it takes away from Asami and Korra's friendship.
Yeah, it contends them against each other. It's like, can't they just be besties? And like, I want Asami and Korra go shopping for like cars or something ridiculous.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Like, I don't want typical girl shopping, but I want them shopping for something ridiculous.
Yes, Britt.
I want them to have, I want like a mix of the two. Like in Tales of Bossing Say. I want them to have like a Toph and Katara moment, but I want them to like go to the spa, but then I want them to leave the spa and like go fight crime.
Yes.
And then make out afterwards, and then that would that would be course.
Or like make out during each of those activities.
Anyway, like, I would say that
there to be like an awkward, like they bump into each other and like accidentally kiss, and then like then they keep kissing. Like, that's what we need.
I think like looking at the fandom, it's like anime. Easy to think that Korosami is like could be canon, but I just don't think it's based on anything in the show, which is unfortunate. I would say this is the only thing I actually ship in Korra.
That's the same. It really is the only thing I ship. Yeah. I did ship Arami until they turned Iroh into like not a person. Like, I feel like they were going to go somewhere with Iroh in season one, and then season two, it's like, Iroh is the worst person ever. Why?
Do you remember when Toph accidentally kissed Suki?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I could see them doing something like that, just like that as a fan service.
That would upset people more than not. If they did something just to throw, like, if they did any, like, fan baiting or like, making a joke out of it and not taking it seriously, that would be worse than ignoring it, I would say.
Yes, that would be upsetting.
Well, arguably not. Ignoring it's pretty bad. Like, there's just no gay stuff at all, and it's just bad.
Like, period. There's not even, like, a hint of anything.
Yeah, which is, I think the appeal of Korosami is that Asami's great, and also a lot of people like Korra. And I think especially Korra away from Mako is people like her more. So pair those two characters together, and it also is a non-straight ship, and it's just very appealing. Also, they're both attractive, so like that too works.
It's Well, it's because like Korra and Asami are such opposites. Like, you'd be great.
Oh, Zutara argument there.
Ah, Zatara's so amazing. Zatara. Oh my god.
But okay, first of all, Zatara, they're not actually opposites. They're only opposite in element. They're actually the same person.
They kind of are the same person.
That's what irritates. Yes. They're both hot-headed. Like, they're the same person. That's why
they're not the same person. They have similar personality traits.
However,
but
that's my thing.
Not.
They have similar personalities, so the whole opposites argument is stupid. Anyway.
That was not.
Korra and Asami really are opposites, like in personality.
I don't know if they're. I don't know how much. I don't think they're complete opposites.
I think, like, they're both independent, but, like, they're independent in different ways. And Korra is just. She's a lot more likely to be aggressive, and Asami's more, like, diplomatic and will think about things.
I just think they'd be. I think them interacting well would just be interesting, and they'd be friends, and. They just, like, get along, and, like, I think they could have a good relationship. Like,
yeah.
I just want
and that's
to
the part,
friends.
Like, I hate
anything
about
beyond that, it's just icing on the cake. But they need to be friends.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
I want them to be friends.
That's the part I hate about shipping Makora, like, the most, because, like, I mean, I'm not going to say, like, I mean, if I were a girl and I was having issues with, like, my boyfriend or ex-boyfriend or whatever and another girl, like, I wouldn't be happy. And that's, like, the sad thing about it.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen evidence of that though in the show. To their
no,
to the creators' credit, like they haven't gotten into the whole as much sexist stuff as they've done. They haven't done the whole Mako or Asami and Korra hate each other because of Mako. Like that's
well, they haven't even interacted. That's the
yeah. That's the problem though. No interaction. Come on. I would say no prospects of this becoming canon. Unfortunately,
it's very sad.
As much as we wanted to. Other fanon ships. At one point, I was big on Jinuchi, which involves a character that hasn't been on since episode 3. It's Jonora and Scoochie. Anyway, Scoochie's not a Scoochie. This kid, the kid from the Revelation, who.
Oh my god! I remember that. I watched that episode today, and I think I ship it.
Yeah. This is another example of a fan. This is a complete fan ship because the two characters
what about
are never
Bolin
met.
And Jinora?
Bolin and Jinora. That I also ship that at some point. That the Bolin and Jinora is.
Jinora grows up.
Yeah, is in like 8 to 10 years. Like that's when you ship.
Okay, this is really bad. But I read a fan fiction about older Jinora, and it was with Iroh, and it was the best thing ever.
Oh my god. That's like a little bit extreme in age, but yeah.
Is Jinora 11?
Jinora, she's either 10 or 11 right now. Yeah.
Okay, well that's only like 5 or 6 years. That isn't bad.
For general, I was probably older though. But yeah,
but
no, like I'm talking
the best. If you had read this fan fiction, you would have been sold. Like I was sold.
Yeah, I it would be. I like actually. I kind of don't want them to ship Jinora with anyone.
Yeah, Jinora just needs to be Jinora.
But if they were to like bring a love interest for Jinora and focus on more on Jinora, that'd be great too. Because more focus on Jinora is good.
Yes,
she's beautiful.
And what other?
What about ships? Milo being obsessed with Asami? Like,
yeah, they need to bring that back. That was really good.
I want more.
Yeah.
Can I have your hair? Like, that's the best.
Yeah, I guess we should.
Haley might be able to say something about it, but I really didn't understand like why people like Tenora.
Yeah, Tenora. Haley, talk about Tenora
it's
for a minute.
So, okay, I think the reason that I like it, I just like. Angst and fighting, and I think
just like his hair, let's be real.
Okay, yes, his hair is fantastic, but like Tanu and Korra would just like
Korra doesn't have a character.
I don't care.
Anyway, Tano coming back, unfortunately, is not going to happen. I don't know.
I wanted to.
It was interesting. It was like they did an interesting thing with his character at the end, so like I think, yeah.
I would only ship Korra with Asami. Like I don't.
Tenora and
other than that, Korra should be alone.
Anyway,
Korra, Makora, Tenora, Koro. What's out? What else?
Last ships we have to mention. I would say Lin and Tenzin.
Yes.
Like
I think that could be a lot.
Originally, I was all Lin-Zin, but like I love Pema, so I don't want to hurt her feelings. And they have kids. Like.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and then Pema and Tenzin.
I totally ship Tenzin and Lin. Like I know that's awful. He's married.
I mean, I ship past Lin-Zin like really hard, but like I'm okay with Pema and Tenzin because Pema is awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think that was like the typical. That was my first true love type situation, and I'm hoping that we get to see a lot more of that in season 3.
Yes. Or just Lin in general.
Yeah. Well, with Lin coming back, it'll be interesting to see what type of things they do with her.
I just love Lin. I want Lin and Asami like being besties. Like,
yeah, that would be good too. We did see a lot of Lin-Korra interaction, which was good. Any other
Tano and Mako.
Okay.
Oh, I just
Taco.
Have they ever Taco. have they interacted? I don't even
I don't know. Well, yes, they have interacted.
Yeah, I guess.
But it would be so fantastic.
There's the Bolin and Iroh ship, which wouldn't bother me.
Yeah, that, I could see that too, yeah. I mean, General Iroh just isn't going to be a factor anymore.
He just isn't a person, yeah. Which is really upsetting. He's
so hot.
You know what okay, obviously they have to bring Zuko back at some point, because they keep saying he's alive. So I want Zuko, and I want him flirting with everyone. That's what I want.
I want Zutara.
You just want 90-year-old Zuko flirting with people?
Yes, it'd be hilarious. Because Zuko doesn't like that at all. And it'd be funny if in his old age, he just flirts with everyone.
Do you think that they'll bring any romances in for Bumi or Kaya?
Probably not.
It's interesting. I could see something with Kaya, because we don't know if she's married yet. Yeah.
I see a lot of Bumi and Lin, and I'm like, I'm not okay with this.
Do you know, like,
makes me uncomfortable.
In Rebel Spirit, when him and Kaya first got off Oogie or whatever, I thought that made, like, her little hair flip, and I was like, oh gosh, she's going to be, like, with her or whatever, but it was you know what I'm talking about?
That maid that was on screen for like 2 seconds.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they made her spin around so slow, and I was like, okay.
Anyway, I think we've covered most things. I would say relationships in general and Korra. I think book one, they're definitely a big focus. Book two, not as much of a focus.
Well, since it's not a character-driven show and it's plot-driven, it's hard to be, like, really passionate, for me anyway, with ships and for there to be a lot of ships. Like, there was every ship possible in Avatar.
Yeah.
Zutara,
Except that one, but yeah. I agree. It's the plot-driven thing is hard. It's hard when the main character isn't terribly likable and isn't. I mean, I think they're working on that. Like, I think they did a good job in book two, but
I like all the characters growing up through romance. Like in book one, it was like child's play, like romance, like puppy love, and then in book two, it started to become more serious. And I think in book three, it's just going to keep getting like more mature. In book four, like yeah. Obviously,
we shall see.
Well, I shall hope.
Yeah, do whatever they do. Hope they. They handle the romances better. I don't think the amount of time given to them is a problem. Like I know Delaney just doesn't like the triangles and stuff. I don't think any individual plot element is inherently a problem, because it exists. I think it's just how it's handled. And then
people just complain so much about the love triangle that it makes me hate it because I don't want people to complain.
That's true.
Love triangles are everyone. So
no, everyone's very inherently anti love triangle, and I think that's just. I think it's just because they're handled badly a lot.
Exactly. That's what I feel. I've only ever read one that's actually been well done, and like they're not done well, so it's hard. You don't like them. They're like ugh.
Yeah. And so let's see what they do with that. I think making Mako better. Will continue to improve, whatever.
Like, can he lose his memory and have a new personality?
Yeah, they need to pull a character from a major movie series right now that's about to happen with him. And yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. That would be.
Spoilers!
Spoilers, yeah. I mean, we didn't spoil anything. Okay, anyway, I think that's it. Any last thoughts on anything we've discussed?
Zutara should have happened.
We did not discuss that, so that was not about it. It was mentioned by you several times, irrelevantly, but okay.
And for the record, there are Katang children, so your argument is irrelevant.
Just completely invalid, yeah.
Katara did I want to have, like, a scene where, like, she, like, floats off and, like, Aang's waiting on her.
I don't think they would do that, but...
I would follow my eyes off forever. That'd be really bad. Like,
I would,
that'd be worse.
It's questionable whether Aang exists anymore.
I would never be okay again. I would have to, like... Or,
Dylan,
like...
you don't want to talk about this right now? You know I'll start screaming.
Like, Aang just might be gone. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, okay. That's all for this week's podcast. I've been your main host. Dylan, co-hosts have been Mayor Sam... Nope, not Sam. I usually say no, but Sam... Anyway, Britt, Haley, no, Delaney. Like, so it should be noted that Sam's... This breaks Sam's podcast streak, but I gave her the choice to be on, and this is not a topic she's passionate about, so it makes sense.
Except Jin Korra.
Except what?
Jin Korra.
Jin Korra.
She ships Jinora and Korra, which is the best thing ever.
That's kind of like a Bolin and Jinora one, yeah. I haven't seen that much from that from most other people.
She just wanted Jinora to just have this crush on Korra.
Yeah, yeah. She just wants to be one-sided. I think that would be cute. Yeah.
It would be the best.
Yeah. Anyway, I produce, edit the podcast. Tech and Gretchers, AJ, Kevin, Jeff, music credits, the Yoshida Brothers, Jeremy Zuckerman, and Luke Tripp, logo and banner by Kevin. Dong Fang is owned by Jake. Contributors to the podcast, Gareth, Sierra, Nick, and Devin and Lexi. And Sam made sure we gave the nicknames G-Money, Sierra Mist, Nick at Night, and Rudy and Tabooty. So Sam's mission is fulfilled. If you enjoyed today's podcast, consider donating from the Spirit World. All donations go directly to supporting our podcast. You can donate by going to Dong, and you get a nickname, dongfang.net/podcast, and clicking donate at the top. Come discuss this and Korra with us on the DF forums at dongfang.net/forums. We're actually getting some discussion recently.
Yes, like people are actually there.
Yeah, like we're there. Yeah,
people are there.
Yes, people are there. Come to the forums, Haley, and discuss with us. Email us at dylan@dongfang.net, Tumblr and Twitter at dongwufang, and you can send us voicemail on our podcast page at dongwufang.net/podcast. Any parting thoughts, and what should we end on?
Makora forever.
Zutara.
No.
We could just end on your favorite non-Zutara ship. Like, I think...
What? Non-Zutara ship. It's not fair.
I think we should end on...
Katang, because that makes everybody happy, except Kylie.
Except for me. Katang makes me sad.
Yeah, let's just end on your favorite Korra ship, okay? Thanks for listening, guys. 1, 2, 3, Korsami.
Hi, Korsami.